next item on the agenda, which is business combinations, and will be introduced by Joan.
I'm here representing both myself and our staff in the Asia Oceania office, and we're working together on looking for ways of updating a reference to the conceptual framework in IFRS 3 that won't cause conflicts with other standards. Thank you to all of you who responded to our request for assistance in identifying possible problems. Agenda paper 2, we've summarised all your feedback, reached conclusions on where the problems will or could arise in practice, and set out various options for moving forward. The main purpose for talking to you today is to find your views on the options for moving forward, and we'll use that feedback to help us develop recommendations to put to the board. But I realise that your views will depend on whether you agree with the staff conclusions in the paper. And our main conclusion was that the only significant problem that's likely to arise in practice will be the one that stems from the different descriptions of present obligation in the conceptual framework and in IAS 37, and particularly as it's been interpreted in IFRIC 21, the levies interpretation. So we concluded that there wouldn't be problems in practice for other things that seemed that there might be, and these were contingent assets and other assets and liabilities with a low probability of inflows or outflows of future benefits. So before we move to talking about the options for moving forward, I would like to just go to question one on page something 14 of the paper, and find out from you whether you agree with the staff conclusions about the extent of the problems that would arise if we simply updated the reference.
I see.
Thank you. According to the comments from our ALSSG working groups, working group members and other members, we have a consensus views. We totally agree with the staff's conclusion in paragraph 38 that updated the IFRS 3 reference to the 2018 concept framework would not create significant new conflicts between IFRS and the requirements in IAS 37 and the requirements in IFRS standards. So we agree that. And beside that, one LSS member mentioned at the scope of the asset and the liability under 2018 conceptual framework may be wider than before, it is better to identify all the potential impact throughout IFRS, focus on the changes of the definitions of assets and the liabilities, in addition to the identified issues.
Okay.
Thank you.
Nobu?
Yes, thank you. We agree with the staff analysis that there won't be a significant change from the 89 framework to the 2008 framework. And if that were the case, we see no need for rush to actually update the reference if the conclusion were the same. We would rather want to see the board work on amendments to IS 37 first, and if they, together with that proposal to amend 37, you can update the reference the framework. So it seems like you want to do the updating first and then work on IS 37, but I think we can do it, you can do it together, working on the amendment to IS 37.
I'll If we want to move on to the way forward...
Yes, I answered your second question.
Are there any other comments on the staff conclusions at all? No. Thinking about the ways forward, some suggestions are in paragraphs 40 to 42 of the paper. And just before we talk about them, I should say that paragraph 41B... is by far the most radical of the suggestions, because all the other options would result in no changes to accounting for liabilities assumed on acquisition. They'd just achieve it in different ways. So they wouldn't result in any changes unless and until IAS 37 is updated, in which case the accounting for liabilities assumed on acquisition would be this updated at the same time as all other liabilities. So if we were to go for 41B, that would need some sort of justification as to why it was necessary to do this sort of two-step change in accounting standards, and especially if, given that the board hasn't yet decided that it definitely will amend IAS 37, it could be creating a permanent difference between IFRS 3 and IAS 37, which would mean a permanent difference between the way we account for liabilities, depending on whether they were assumed on the acquisition of a business or arose in some other way. So that we are, that obviously the board has yet to make a decision on whether it will amend IAS 37. Even if it does, it's going to take a little bit of time to do that. And the question is really whether it should be doing anything in the meantime or just let the old reference sit there, to the reference to the old framework sit there until it's updated IAS 37. So, comments on that?
Well, we discussed the paper and the options with our consultative forum of standard setters. I have to say there weren't many reactions at all, to be honest, but those that were, I guess there are three options, which is the sort of Nobu, don't be in a rush, yep, leave the old reference, yep, or 41A or 41B, and we got one vote for each. So I guess probably if I had to have the casting vote, which I don't, I'd say, well, leave it as it is, get on with the work on IS 37, and hopefully in the fullness of time, there will be no conflict between the framework and the new guidance. And then we can update the reference. But
Chris?
So we'll probably have a slightly different view. We're sort of thinking about more of trying to maintain two conceptual frameworks, and that starts to get very complicated and very confusing. So our preference would be to try and resolve the issue as soon as you can. We were probably more in the space of go with 41B, just in the off chance that there are going to be some things that could be similar to the contingent liability issues that might need some extra.
Do you think that this the two-step change would be just the hassle of having two sets of changes in requirements, one after the other, would be justified?
I think it depends on how many of these things you actually turn up. And it seems like the real issue is the levy issue that people have identified, but there could be some others out there, and not quite sure. Certainly in Australia, we don't seem to have the same levy issue that Europe does, so perhaps that's a different perspective as to why we're more comfortable to move forward. We don't think you should rush through on 37. You need to get it right. But... So I think that's why our preference was more to go with the option B, because then that lets you take the time you need to actually get 37 to the right principles.
Alexander.
So most of it was no reaction, because I believe people do not exactly understand the implications. But in my view, if you do not update, it is... Of course, there are implications, but that was the point when reforming the conceptual framework, is to have implications, because otherwise you do not change it. So it, my view is a little bit of a So you say, yes, of course, going to be that. So you change the definition of an asset, so consequently you're going to change the definition of an asset and IFRS 3. So otherwise you can end up in a situation that, well, this conceptual framework is there but doesn't work for IFRS 3, which is pretty much hard to explain to a person that's out of this circle here. So the general view is, yes, if you update the conceptual framework, you should update. And if you don't like the consequence, maybe you have to rethink the conceptual framework.
I think it's pretty much. I think it's not that people dislike the consequences. It's just that it would be the consequences would come in two stages if we updated IFRS 3 first and then IS 37 later.
Yeah, I understand. I'm not saying that I don't like the consequences too. But if that's one point, even in stages, I think. That's a good reason for rethinking the conceptual framework in the first place. So I put it simply, yes, you should update it.
Thank you. According to our LSSG members' responses, we support to update IFRS reference to the conceptual framework. And about when to update, some of our members mentioned, update the IFRS as soon as practicable. And as others mentioned, maybe, like you mentioned, two steps, because considering that there are some difficulties to update these IFRS at once, maybe in the medium or long term, it's fine. And also, there is another member mentioned how to update. For example, they suggested that ISB could consider to make such an excuse in inserting a footnote into the IFRS reference to the 2018 conceptual framework, reading that the recognition of levies that meet the conceptual framework should be deferred until the obligation event happens, as set out in IFRIC 21, for the sake of relevant financial information. However, they mentioned if the ISB believes that they can't excuse in that manner, they might need to withdraw IFRS 21 because it could be implicitly concluded that IFRIC 21 hindered the provision of relevant information. So these are members' comments on the whether, when, and how to update IFRS 3. Thank you.
Alexandru?
No, sorry.
Andreas?
Thanks. We haven't discussed that in the German Technical Committee, so I have to rely on my personal views here. No strong view, I must say. A slight preference for 41B, I'd say. And the reason really is that, coming back to what Alessandra said, you could view it as, is the issue coming from the conceptual framework, the revised conceptual framework, or is it an issue that really comes out of the business combination literature? And I tend to think it's the latter, really, because there is a difference between a standalone contingent liability and a contingent liability assumed in a business combination, because there's a cross-cutting effect with goodwill. Because usually, I think if there is a contingency, it usually will be priced in the purchase price. And therefore, if you don't take note of that, I mean, you will impact goodwill. And that won't happen with a standalone contingent liability. So I think the issue is more in IFRS 3 than in the conceptual framework, which is why I, for that reason, would go for 41B.
Mary?
I thought I had a question for Chris, but I think I now have it for Chris and Andreas. But one piece is specifically for Chris. You had talked about, on the one hand, the cost of maintaining two conceptual frameworks is being a reason to move. And I guess going back to Joan's question on two rounds of change, I guess it would be helpful to hear some explicit feedback on how do you weigh the cost of maintaining, you know, two conceptual frameworks versus the cost of putting two rounds of change, you know, through the system. I think implicit is less to put through two rounds of change, but just wanted to check that. It's less costly to put through two rounds of change.
I think the issue with two conceptual frameworks is that people are already confused enough about when you have to go to the conceptual framework and actually knowing, do I go to this one or do I go to this one? And I go to this one for sometimes and I go to this one for sometimes. Mm-hmm. Most people are just not going to get it at all. So you run the risk that they're going to get the wrong answer anyway. And I'm not so sure. So it's two changes for you in terms of making a change to 3 and then potentially another change to 37. But I don't think it's two changes for most people.
Okay.
So because it's not a change, if you're either in the business combination standard and you have to make those and you'll do that and just keep going, that's just what I do. And that's what people are already doing today with contingent liabilities. And we haven't heard anything that said that that's a real problem. Mm. And then you're not necessarily going to change that accounting when you change 37's accounting. So I'm not quite sure.
It wasn't a leading question. Really, you raised two different cost questions that I just wanted to pull them together. But then the other on the two of you expressed support for 41B. I'll express, and I think this is news to Joan as much as everybody else, my own views about a risk of 41B is that when we have tested the conceptual framework, and I'm thinking of discussions at World Standard Setters last year and in some other settings, I think people take the guidance that's in the conceptual framework about liabilities and make quite different judgments because there's not a lot of guidance in how to apply it in the conceptual framework, which makes sense for the conceptual framework because I think the expectation is that's going to be operationalized at the standards level. And that hasn't happened yet.
Yeah.
So to me, going for 41B does run the risk that you're saying to people that you're using the new guidance to determine when you have a liability a bit more with maybe a little less guidance around it than we might expect once we do the IS 37, once we look at IS 37 and decide whether or not we want to make a change. Now, Andreas has pointed out the difference between a contingent liability that you incur for your entity versus incurred by an entity that you're acquiring in its interaction with goodwill, and that's creating... If you recognize more, I think I've got my debits and credits right to say it means you recognize more goodwill when you recognize a contingent liability. Mm-hmm. And I guess I have a little bit of squeamishness about driving people in that direction when we don't have fences up around how you take this general concept that's in the conceptual framework. And it might be a bigger standard setting project than we think for 41B. If we're going to spell out subsequent changes in the estimation around it and when, how it all rolls through. So I have some concerns about 41B, but I didn't hear strong preferences, but I just wanted to get people to think about those.
I think two points, if I may. The first one is that in general, I think we should be careful about references to conceptual frameworks because of the different statuses of the conceptual framework and the standards. So it's always awkward to have a reference. I know there are references, but in this case, you see you put the finger on where it hurts. So in 41. It is mentioned that it could be updating the reference and add other elements to it. So I still question the need for a reference. I would prefer a standard that would be walking on its two legs by defining exactly. Therefore, it looks a little better, 41B, subject to what Mary said. Of course, there are downsides, but we need to recognize that in a business combination, we are recognizing assets and liabilities that we wouldn't recognize if it was on an ongoing business. So if that is the case, then you need a specific treatment and trying to tie it to the general definition of a liability is always difficult, because you would, as you're saying here, you would derecognize on day two if you do not go the longer way, which is to explain what you do with this liability that you have decided you put a price on, you record as a liability, that you wouldn't do it, you wouldn't do that if you were in a regular type of ongoing business. So I think you need to drill down a little further, and 41B looks the better path to follow, in my view.
Leonardo.
Thank you. We agree that there is no rush to update IFRS 3. However, we have a minority view, because we think that the proposal in paragraph 42, even though is more broader, has some merit, because it's consistent with the framework. And so you first check if the definition of asset meets the definition of the standards. And if you don't see this this alignment, then you can go to the framework. So we think that this proposal in paragraph 42 could be explored.
Andrew?
Thanks. It's just to note that Mary's concern that, based solely on the guidance in the conceptual framework, entities might not necessarily make consistent judgments around the point at which some of the more complex levy arrangements give rise to a liability. That did come up in our discussion. Even the simplified example in Appendix A, some question whether we had enough facts and circumstances to conclude there definitely was a liability at the imposition date. So I think that is a valid challenge.
Okay.
I think I've heard a bit of support for most of the options.
As usual.
I've certainly heard some support for doing something quickly so that we can withdraw the old framework, because it's confusing to have a second framework hanging around. But I've also heard the alternative view that it there's not a real rush to do this. Get on with updating IAS 37 and then change the reference in the conceptual framework at the same time. And also, some support for sort of moving forward in IFRS 3 ahead of IAS 37, and some support for the 42 option. The one I wasn't sure about with the anybody who thinks that we need to do something quickly would support 41A, which is basically updating the reference, but making an exception to say carry on with IAS 37 in the meantime for levies and similar things. Any
takers?
Oh. Okay.
I have a final comment, which is not related to this point here on 41A, is that now that we are looking to it, maybe you can take advantage of that and get rid of this exception for income tax as well, so we could take advantage of the
scope creep. Scope creep.
But you solve the other issue here, which is quite important.
And the one other point was this. Be careful about putting references in to the conceptual framework at all if you don't have to. Okay.
Yeah, in AOSSG, there is one member preferred to the 41A.
Oh, good.
They prefer to add requirements to IFRS 3 for the subsequent recognition and measurement of liability within the scope of IS 37 or IFRIC 21, so that the liability recognized on acquisition applying the conceptual framework would not be recognized day one.
So there isn't one option I can rule out totally. Okay. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
Let's take a break till 10 to 11.